Reaching Up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
From San Francisco to Paris, Nashville to Amsterdam, we're reaching up.
This is Don Fess in San Francisco, and we're reaching up again this week with music, some cool wisdom, and special guest
Rami Kleinstein joins me in Tel Aviv, Israel.
ויקשים משאלתך שתעשה בשביל אחר והוא למענך שתיגע בכל כוכב ותטפס על כל שלב שתישאר צעיר לנצח שתגדל להיות צודק שתדע לראות האור ולמצוא את האמת בתוך החושך הגדול שתמיד תהיה חזק אל תשחק את המשחק שתישאר צעיר לנצח לא 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 צעדיך מהירים שיהיה ביתך יציב מול רוחות השינויים שבלבך תהיה שמחה וישירו את שירך שתישאר צעיר לנצח שישמור אותך אל ויקשיב משאלתך שתעשה בשביל אחר והוא למענך שתיגע בכל כוכב תטפס על כל שלב שתישאר צעיר לנצח שתמיד תהיה חזק אל תשחק את המשחק שתישאר צעיר לנצח
Rami Kleinstein has been called the Billy Joel or Elton John of Israel, and he's with me here on Reaching Up right near the port of Tel Aviv.
This is Don Fess, and we're sitting at the Edelson Cafe, which is on Ben Yehuda Street. And Rami, we never met before, but I saw you at the Kodak Theater for Israel's 60th anniversary in Hollywood, a great show, emceed, if I remember, by Kirk Douglas.
That's right. Kirk Douglas was that's very. He honored his presence there, and it was a very nice performance in this great hall.
Oh, it's a lovely hall. For people who don't know, it's where the Academy Awards are now.
Exactly.
However, I don't know about the Academy Awards, but I never saw such security in my life.
Well, now every time there's a large venue of Israelis, and you would find, and probably there were also maybe there were ambassadors there, things like that. You would have heavy security, not only in Israel, also in Europe. It's probably
part of the times.
It's part of the times. Yeah.
Tell everybody how you got started, not only in music, but what your background is.
I was born in New York.
My hometown.
Yes. I was born in Queens and raised in Long Island. And my father's he's a retired professor. He learned in NYU and in Brooklyn Polytech. And we made our actually he's a born Israeli, born near Haifa. And we made our move back to Israel in 1970. And since then, there were a couple of back and forths between Israel and New York, and also one time in Hampton, Virginia. But I'm mostly living in Israel, feeling myself Israeli completely. I started studying in New York, piano, because piano was, it was like, first time I ever met a piano, it was a bonding from the first. It was like a language that was, I think it was implanted in me. It was not something new to me. Anything I could sing, I could play on the piano with one hand. I started studying for 2 years with Mrs. Tishman, who lived in Rockville County, that's the name, I think? Rockville County.
North of New York.
North of New York. And after I moved to Israel, I started studying with the Barenboim family. Aida Barenboim, and later Enrico Barenboim. Needless to say, the parents of Daniel Barenboim, the pianist and the conductor. So I studied classical music and found myself studying classical music, but really liking popular music, things that you heard on the radio and cassettes that I had and records. My teachers were very sure I had a future in classical music, but when I turned 17, 18, before I went into the army, I retired from classical music and pursued what I really liked best, was writing music and singing my own songs. I did that in the army, in an IDF entertainment group, and after I finished the army, I just continued. I recorded my own album, and I recorded albums of my ex-wife Rita, and that's thank God that's what I do until today.
At what point did you know that this was going to be a serious career for you?
I was an ambitious 11-year-old. I think I was sure that was the goal of my life. There was nothing else that I thought I it's the only thing I thought I could do. I mean, that was the way I saw. That's the way I saw it. My vision always was seeing my name build somewhere and performing.
That's great. So you really fulfilled your vision.
I completely did. Thank God.
Tell us about some of your songs, maybe one by one, and as you tell us, we'll play them. Pick a few.
Well, my first album out was in English. It was translated "The Day of the Bomb." And if I'm thinking about, it was 1986. I was very young. I was very sure of myself. That's usually what happens when you're young. You're sure of yourself completely. You know exactly what you're doing. Even though you may be wrong, you're sure of yourself. But there are a couple of great songs on that first album. One is called Hanichili, which is in English, I think, Let Me Be. Actually, what's very interesting about this first album, that it's part of my repertoire. The other song from the first album would be Esh, which was actually my first great hit, Fire, Esh. And these songs are part of my repertoire, even though it's been 24 or 25 years since.
Your first album.
For my first album, yes.
What about your music now? How do you feel it's evolved or evolving?
Well, we all evolve, and I think when I look back at the songs that I wrote then, I'm sure I can't and I won't write what I wrote 25 years ago. I think we are all a reflection of what we are, what we learned, where we fell, where we stood. You know, when you mature and you learn but you keep this child of yours within, I think you're still able to create and to be relevant. Because I think that's one of the best blessings that I could say is, we are talking about popular music, so we have to understand that even though we're talking about popular music, I think it's a blessing that I'm 47 years old and me performing and writing new songs and creating new audiences all the time. I look at it as a blessing. The writing is again, it's a blessing that I have a studio down the street here. And I walk in my studio, and with my computer, and I continue to write songs, and the muse is probably there, and the music comes out. I think that the Israeli culture had its impact on me, no less than I had the impact on Israeli culture. I think it's a give and take situation. Whilst when I was 24, 25, I think I brought this international kind of feel into Israeli music. I think today, you know, it's hard to dissect my music or analyze where the American influence starts and where the Israeli influence ends. It's when I write a song, it's what people would say Rami Kleinstein. Okay, this is Rami Kleinstein.
Back with Rami Kleinstein here in Tel Aviv in a minute.
Shine your light, shine your light.
New music, new hope. Our new CD with King Crimson's Adrian Belew, Peter Paul and Mary's Peter Yarrow, Zender, Tom Paxton, Brian Duncan, Pam Thumb, The Bittersweets, Craig Taubman, Debbie Friedman, and many more. Incredible music benefiting children in need all over the world. A great gift for yourself or others at cdbaby.com, oneheartforkids.com. New music, new hope. The exciting, uplifting album that helps people all over the world. Get it, play it, enjoy it. Give it and help kids all over the world. New music, new hope. Also at reachingupradio.com. Reachingupradio.com.
ארצנו הקטנטונת, ארצנו היפה, מולדת בלי כותונת, מולדת יחפה. קבליני אל שיריי, קלה יפהפייה, פתחי לי שעריי, עבור במודיה. בצל עצי החורש, הרחק מאור חמה, יחדיו נקה פה שורש אל לב האדמה. אל מעיינות הזוהר, אל פירות התום, מולדת ללא תואר וצועניתו. עוד לא תמו כל פלאי, עוד הזמר לא שם, עוד ליבי מכה עם ליל ולוחש לו בלה. את ליאת החם, את ליאת אמובה, את ליאת המעט, המעט שנותר. נביאה בבגדנו את ריח הכפרים, נפעמו ליבנו יקו הדרים. ישנה דממה רוגה וקרן אור יפה, ולאורה נפסק ברגל יחפה. עוד לא תמו כל פלאי, עוד הזמר לא שם, עוד ליבי מכה עם ליל ולוחש לו בלה. את לי את אחת, את לי את המובן, את לי את המעט, המעט שנותר. את לי את המעט, המעט שנותר.
You mentioned, obviously, how you decided to live here, coming from Long Island, where I grew up too, by the way. This is not your usual country, and it's not, how can I put it, just a lot of Jewish people living together. This is a very unique country. What's it like living here, knowing that Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, are always on the front page?
Well, first of all, it's much more exciting. It's very alive, and it needs to be alive. You need to be alive here. You need to be, I think, you know, on your tiptoes all the time, and not in the metropolitan sense, like in New York or in London, in Paris, because it's not only. It's not only the individual sense, because Israel is known to be a news creator, but also people are very in tune to what happens almost every hour, what happens in the news, because this is, you know, if I'm not counting the 9/11 in New York, and if I'm not counting Wall Street people who have to be in tune what happens with the market every hour, here you have to be in tune to know if there's a terror attack right next to your house, or if there's suddenly a new war, you know, in Lebanon. Now, when we're saying Lebanon, people have to understand it. It's a 2-hour drive from here. It's not. Living in Chicago and something happening in your country, you know, 20-24 hours away, you know, it's all here.
There was, in fact, I really didn't because my Hebrew is rusty, in fact, that's putting it mildly, but I heard that something happened just in the last 24 hours in East Jerusalem, in fact, some kind of riots and somebody was killed. I'm not sure of the details of that, but...
You see, if yesterday was Sukkot, which is one of the Jewish holidays, if you missed that, you missed it. But you know, inevitably, there's going to be one tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. You live in this... you learn to live with it, you know? And that's what makes it... maybe also makes it special. It makes it livable, because it's you know, it's part. Your existence is always in question when you live here.
Which must make you think about who you are and who you are relative to other people, and even whether time could be more limited living here.
I think you You got it on. I think you got it on the dot, because if we try to put this into writing and into music, into lyrics, I think the lyrics here in Israeli music, I'm not talking about all of the lyrics. There are a lot of popular lyrics of "I love you" and "You love me," but there are a lot of lyrics that tend to be philosophical, more philosophical here than in the United States or in Europe, and they would not seem popular in international scenes, but here they are popular because, you know, everybody lives it. So the Israeli music in maybe not a large part, but a very very influential part. That the lyrics are deeper. There's more meaning
to making music here.
Well, though, it's interesting because you say you came over here 1970 or the beginning of the 70s, and last night I was sitting in a cafe off Ben Yehuda and was listening to songs they were playing like Blowing in the Wind and Cat Stevens' Peace Train. I hope to see him in London. I'm still waiting. But I think American music has lost all that. And it's good to know, even if almost out of necessity, that it's going on someplace else.
I think when it was happening, when Bob Dylan was writing, and when folk music had a lot of inspiration, a lot of influence on the popular music scene in the United States and in Britain, it was a necessity. So there. I think that's the plus and the minus of life. Okay, because everybody in the end, everybody tends. I think it's born in us that we tend to want to have a better life and to have a comfortable life. That's what we tend to want. Everybody wants it for his children. Everybody wants it for himself. And then there's also the question of where you are and you know what the situation is. Here in the Middle East, it's a very hard situation. So it breeds that kind of music and that kind of art.
I'm going to get back to that as my last question, but first I want to ask you. You've done so much already over the 25 years. Any things that you want to do in particular, or do you have any new visions?
Well, I really like working with young artists. There's something very good at this kind of collaboration. First of all, they have a lot of respect for... these young artists have a lot of respect for the things I do, and I feel I have a lot to give in that sense. This is one thing that I'm already doing and planning to do in the future, working with younger artists, not only as a producer, but also on stage and collaborating in that sense. Just to keep on writing, being true to myself, being true to my environment. Today I'm 47. If you know, I feel that I have a good run of 15 years, just to keep on keeping on what I'm doing. That's that would be my goal.
Since we're sitting doing this interview in Israel rather than New York or Los Angeles, since it's just been Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the new year, and since Hillary Clinton and Abbas and Benjamin Netanyahu and just about everybody else along with them has been meeting and once again discussing peace, are you optimistic that eventually it'll happen?
I was born an optimist. It has its pluses. I'm not the sarcastic type, and I'm not the pessimistic type. So I have I always have this this hope that, you know, out of nowhere, because it has to happen, and if it happens, it has to happen because they're leaders who sit together, make bold moves. You know, it has to be a bold move. It you know, when Menachem Begin met with Sadat, it was a bold move by both sides. So I have this hope. There is I have this feeling that there's always history that proves to us that if anybody ever made peaceful moves on the side of the Israelis, they always came from the rightist movement and not from the leftist. It could be because if you'd be a leftist leader, you'd have a right opposition so strong that you can't make that move. But Menachem Begin came from the right
and he made peace with Egypt. And Rabin, who came from the labor movement, but he was right. He was always a rightist. He was always came from the army. He was the chief of staff of the army, and he made this bold movement. Alex Sharon. So I have this hope that Netanyahu will make this move because I'm an optimist that he'll be able to disregard the right movement in that sense. But again, I wouldn't declare myself as a leftist because these things need to be done with security and they need to be done smart. And they need to be done with, you know, and people have to understand that we have nowhere to go, okay? We have nowhere to go. This is, you know, this is our last stand here, Israel. There's no other place we can go. So it has to be done, but it has to be done in a smart way. I have hope.
Well, it's really good to have hope, and hopefully the leaders that are meeting have hope, because if they have hope and they have heart, it will happen. Hope we see you again in the U.S. soon or back in Israel here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
You may think that saying in Hebrew Ani ohev otach is kind of hard. Phonetically speaking, you say. You probably say that when you say Ani ohev otach, it sounds bad, then you want to say I love you. And if you really want to upgrade yourself, you say Je t'aime. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter in what language you say. If you don't love your mate every day, as if it's a flower that you have to water every day, then it's not going to work. That's just what I want to say. It's not, you know, it's just natural. Don't think that obvious is not the enemy. You just have to water it. En ma lasot, kacha ze b'chaim. I want to sing this song in English and see what happens. It's not easy. This love has taken its toll on me. She said goodbye too many times before. Her heart is breaking in front of me, and I have no choice, so I won't say goodbye anymore. Ha ha ha. Oh, 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 oh. You say on me, she said too many times before. Her heart is breaking in front of me, and I have no choice, so I won't say goodbye anymore. Oh, 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 oh.
This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up.
This is the Celebrate Radio Network. Radio Network. From Seattle to Paris, Bangkok to Jerusalem.